Pradarsyataptatapasam Avitriptadrisham nirnam Adayantaradharyastu Svabimbam lokalochanam Lord Shri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him as he is, due to not executing required penance. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the word avitripta drisham is most significant. The conditioned souls in the material world are all trying to satisfy their senses in various ways, but they have failed to do so because it is impossible to be satisfied by such efforts. The example of the fish on land is very appropriate. If one takes a fish from the water and puts him on the land, it cannot be made happy by any amount of offered pleasure. The spirit soul can be happy only in the association of the Supreme Living Being, the Personality of Godhead, and nowhere else. The Lord, by his unlimited causeless mercy, has innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the Brahmajyoti sphere of the spiritual world. And in that transcendental world, there is an unlimited arrangement for the unlimited pleasure of the living entities. The Lord himself comes to display his transcendental pastimes, typically represented at Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. He appears just to attract the conditioned souls back to Godhead, back home to the eternal world. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that only those who have completely surpassed the way of sinful reaction can engage themselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The entire Vedic way of ritualistic performances is to put every conditioned soul on the path of piety. By strict adherence to the prescribed principles for all orders of social life, one can attain the qualities of truthfulness, control of the mind, control of the senses, forbearance, etc., and can be elevated to the plane of rendering pure devotional service to the Lord. Only by such a transcendental vision are one's material hankerings fully satisfied. When the Lord was present, persons who were able to satisfy their material hankerings by seeing him in true perspective were thus able to go back to him, to his kingdom. But those persons who were unable to see the Lord, as he remained attached to material hankerings, were not able to go back home, back to Godhead. When the Lord passed beyond the vision of all, he did so in his original eternal form, as stated in this verse. The Lord left in his own body. He did not leave his body, as is generally misunderstood by the conditioned souls. This statement defeats the false propaganda of the faithless non-devotees that the Lord passed away like an ordinary conditioned soul. The Lord appeared in order to release the world from the undue burden of the non-believing asuras, and after doing this, he disappeared from the world's eyes. Uddhava, in this beautiful verse, is lamenting not only due to his own misfortune of losing the most blessed association of Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna appeared in this world especially to give pleasure to his devotees and to attract all fortunate souls back into his loving service by displaying the pastimes of the spiritual world and by speaking the highest truths and the means by which we can achieve it. Uddhava was the very, very dear friend of Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who was also a dear friend and a devotee. It was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna was in a very lamentable condition, seeing the two armies assembled before him, both of which containing his friends, relatives, and well-wishers. In that condition of great, great distress, he turned to Krishna. And Krishna smilingly enlightened him by speaking the words of Bhagavad Gita. And through this process, Krishna enlightened all of the world for all times. Arjuna, it describes, he forgot after Krishna left this world. He was in such a great, great state of lamentation. He was conquered by some ordinary citizens of the society. And in Hastinapur, he was plunged in such deep separation. But in the process, by the arrangement of Sri Krishna, he remembered the instructions that were given to him in Kurukshetra. And thus he once again experienced Krishna's divine presence. Krishna Surya Samaya Haya Andhakar. Where there is Krishna, there can be no darkness. Because Krishna is like the sun, and ignorance is like darkness. When we remember Krishna with sincere devotion, all darkness is dispelled from our lives. So upon remembering those sublime instructions, Arjuna was enlightened again in the blissful remembrance of Krishna. And just as all ignorance was removed in his lamentable condition on Kurukshetra, when Krishna personally spoke it, in the same way, all the illusion was immediately dispelled just by remembering that pastime of what Krishna spoke to him. Which is the evidence that Srila Prabhupada very clearly reminds us of, that Krishna's words are none different than Krishna himself. Whether we are sitting on the chariot in Kurukshetra 5,000 years ago, or whether we are reading Bhagavad Gita as it is here in Bombay in 1997, if we have the same devotional attitude of Arjuna, the same eagerness to hear, the same pastime is taking place within our own life, and the same effect will be achieved. Uddhava was a similar type of friend to Krishna as Arjuna. And to Uddhav, Krishna spoke the Uddhav Gita, which goes even deeper in the sublime subject matter than the Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna was about to leave this world, he wanted to enlighten Uddhava in the highest science of devotional service. And this Uddhava Gita, which is described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describes in great intricacies the path of pure devotional service. It composes many, many chapters. In fact, most of the 11th canto is Krishna's dialogue with Uddhava. And after speaking this, Krishna personally disappeared from the vision of this world, just as the sun sets in the western horizon, only to be rising in another place. Similarly, when Krishna leaves this world, it is not like an ordinary person. Actually, there is no such thing as death, for the soul never dies. Only the material body changes. But for Krishna, there is not even a change of body, because his body is Sachit Ananda Vigraha. It is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Krishna simply, after he fulfills his particular purpose during his incarnation, he disappears from the vision of the people of this world, only to be appearing in another place for the ultimate benefit of all persons in that place. So after Krishna's disappearance, Uddhava was plunged in an ocean of grief, and he began to wander through various provinces of India. Krishna told him to go to Badrik Ashram, which is way high in the Himalayan mountains. And there he was to associate with the great avatars, Nara Narayan Rishis. But on his way, he is meeting Vidura. And Vidura is inquiring from Uddhava about Krishna and his devotees. And due to Uddhava's most sincere inquiries, Uddhava begins to remember Krishna. He's remembering his instructions. He's remembering his beautiful pastimes that he performed in the association of devotees. And therefore, Uddhava is experiencing here great, great transcendental ecstasy. However, he is lamenting all the things he could have done for Krishna, all the opportunities that could have been, he did not take advantage of. This is the nature of material existence. And it is even, in another way, the way devotees feel in spiritual existence. When we have the opportunity of the personal association of the Lord or his devotees, we are given such a benediction. We do not know at all what kind of benediction it is until it is taken away from us. Then we lament. We were discussing the other day the experience all devotees had with Srila Prabhupada. Whether his closest secretaries and servants who were traveling with him 24 hours a day, or those devotees who perhaps would only see him during a class from a distance away, or see him at an airport and offer their obeisances, never really even got to speak to him. Everyone, whatever their physical or personal relationship was with Srila Prabhupada, after he disappeared, everyone lamented. Why didn't I take the opportunity to see him at this time? Why didn't I not take the opportunity to actually hear him? Why my mind was distracted in so many ways and I had so many ambitions, and even though I was sitting right beside him, I didn't take advantage of his association. And all those times I could have gone to see him, but somehow or other I didn't, either due to laziness or because I just didn't understand what a benediction it was. If I was determined, I would have done it. But now he's gone. And in this life, the opportunity is finished. It cannot reoccur. So in this way, devotees lament. But actually that lamenting is a type of ecstasy. Because in that lamentation, we are actually feeling separation from the object of our worship. And the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, reciprocate with us accordingly. So Uddhava is lamenting. Why he did not take proper care to associate with Krishna when he was here. And in this verse, he also previously, he lamented over the whole Yadu dynasty. They did not understand actually who he was. Who was amongst them? Therefore, so carelessly, we acted with him in an ordinary way. How unfortunate are we? And how greater is the misfortune of the whole world? Because so many in this world did not even recognize that he was the Supreme Lord. They did not take advantage at all. Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna in his original form descends into this material universe. Not only this earth planet, but the universe. Only once in a day of Brahma, which is so many billions of years. And Krishna appeared only 5,000 years ago. Considering a day of Brahma, 5,000 years is hardly a second by our time, a few seconds. And yet, even during Krishna's appearance, how many people actually understood who he was and took advantage of his coming to this earth? And it's only 5,000 years past. How many years in a day of Brahma? 8.6 billion years? So, 5,000 years ago. And yet, look at the world. He just very, very recently left us. And he won't be back for billions and billions of years. And how many people in the world even recognize who is Krishna? Are worshipping him, glorifying him, remembering him? This material world is such a wretched place with such wretched people. So ungrateful for the mercy of the Lord. And therefore such devotees like Uddhava simply lament. And such devotees like Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and others, they are willing to give their lives to make the unfortunate fortunate. And what is the greatest fortune? By reminding people that Krishna has come. He's just come. He won't be back for billions of years, but he's come. And he's come only to invite you to go back home, back to Godhead. Out of the miserable condition of the threefold miseries. Ariatmaka, Aridaivaka, Aribhautaka. You are so wastefully letting your life expire, trying to make comfortable arrangements for this body, trying to enjoy through your senses, trying to get some satisfaction with your false ego by attaining some high position in the eyes of mortal men who will only envy you. And in this way you are wasting the precious opportunity that you have in this human life to understand what mercy Krishna has brought when he came to this world. He has spoken the Bhagavad Gita. Hear this, understand this, and you will become perfect, blissful in devotional service. He has enacted his beautiful pastimes in Dwarka, in Mathura, and especially in Vrindavan. Only once in a day of Brahma does the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally bring his original abode of Vrindavan Dham down from the spiritual world and demonstrate the pastimes of Vrindavan right in this universe. And there are so many innumerable planets within the 14 systems within this universe. And of all the planets within this universe, he demonstrated his pastimes and he personally came to this little tiny planet Earth. And why did he demonstrate his Vrindavan pastimes? Just to attract our hearts. This is real life. This is truth. This is happiness. Come and join my Leela. When Krishna was personally here, 5,000 years ago, the earth was so overburdened with demons. And there was a conspiracy amongst these demons. Kamsa, Jarasandha, Putana, Keshi, Arista, Asura, Agasura, Salva, all these demons were there and they were all attacking. They were attacking Vrindavan. They were attacking Mathura, trying to attack Dwarka. And the common people, they were simply wasting their lives. They did not understand. Here is Krishna. And it just happened yesterday, not even. And what are the people of this world doing? How many are hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna's pastimes and studying the teachings of Gita in a spirit of devotion? Therefore, the great acharyas, they understand the unfortunate condition of humanity. Wasting their lives. For what? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. What is available for the animals and the insects and the birds? Human form of life is giving the opportunity for transcendental happiness. And we're trying to have a nice nest for ourselves to live and raise our families. And some nice food. And some nice flickering sense enjoyment. And whatever little we have, so much time and energy goes to defending it. And moment after moment, our life is slipping away. And we're thinking, the materialistic people are so lost in ignorance, they are thinking, I will do it till the day I die. This is the purpose and goal of life, to enjoy and to facilitate my family members' enjoyment. I will work and I will work and I will work so I could substantiate a better happiness for my ego and my mind and my senses. And then when I die, I will give as an inheritance all I have done for the ego and senses of my loved ones. That is material life. But a devotee understands this is illusion. I'm not this body, I'm the eternal soul. Why am I working so hard for these things? Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. There's danger at every step. Yudhisthira Maharaj explained, the most inconceivable mystery of this world is everyone around sees that people are dying at any moment. But we are all thinking, yes, I have to die, but it will not be for a long time. So yes, I'm a devotee, and somehow or other I'll chant my rounds because I made that vow. I'll get my rounds done. And ritualistically, from time to time, I'll come to the temple. And after I build my empire, after I become accomplished and everything is set, then I will very seriously surrender my life to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and serving my spiritual master. But padam padam yad vipadam natesham. The scriptures and the sages are constantly warning us there is danger at every step. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha. Prahlad Maharaj told his children, they had the same argument. Now we're children, we're only 5 years old, let us play. Prahlad Maharaj explained to them, at every stage of life, there is always an excuse to postpone self-realization. When you're a little child, let me play later on. I will become Krishna conscious. And then when you're a student, let me just finish my studies. Then I will take devotional service more seriously. And then after your studies, you have a family. Let me just establish myself in my economic condition and my household condition. That is the necessity. Then I will become more serious about Krishna consciousness. And then you start having children, and then you start having grandchildren. And soon, the worst part of your life is all that remains. You're old, your brain doesn't function properly, your organs are dysfunctional, you can hardly dance anymore, and then you fag end of my life. I'll give this to Krishna. The years where there's youth and energy and intelligence, I'll use that for my economic, sensual purposes. And the fag end of life when there's nothing left practically, I'll offer that to Krishna. That love? If a guest comes to your home and you want to show love, do you give that person the worst thing you have? Or do you give that person the best thing you have? Which is an expression of love? So we want to give Krishna the worst part of our life? But actually, by the time you get old, you're so habituated, you're so conditioned, you have this massive burden of desires and attachments and illusions. How are you going to be Krishna conscious then? When a person becomes Krishna consciousness in his older years or her older years, what he's doing is he's just trying to spend the last years of his life struggling and straining and painfully toiling to undo everything he's done. He's been tightening the knot with all his might, all his life, and the last years he's trying to somehow or other loosen that knot, but it's so tight. It's very difficult. Therefore, Prahlad says, now you're 5 years old, this is the time. Actually, old age doesn't mean 90, 100 years old. Old age means you're close to death. And if you're 5 years old, you may die when you're 6. So that means you are a grand old 5-year-old man. We do not know. It is a fact. So many uncertainties in this world. People do not expect. Any moment, earthquakes. Any moment, mysterious incurable diseases. Any moment some mad terrorist comes and shoots a gun or ignites a bomb. Any just a slight bit of inattention and you're hit by a car or you crash from a car, fall off mountains in a car. Anything could happen at any time. Floods. What to speak of India? India is a place where life and death, it's just like a very, very little shadow between. Actually, it's like that in the whole world. Little more evident here. When I lived in the Western world, I never saw a dead body except very nicely manicured in the funeral parlor, where they put all kinds of injections of preservatives in the body. And I'll never forget the first time one of my friend's fathers died. He was the chief of police for our town, and everyone hated him. He was a very nasty person, very cruel person, very egoistic person. He was miserable. He always looked, nobody ever saw him smile. Even his own children, they didn't like him very much at all because he was just not a nice person. But in his funeral, in his casket, they paid a good amount of money because these people are like artists. They made his body look so young, and he was laying there with a very peaceful, sublime smile. And I was standing with my friends, and all the relatives and townspeople were coming by and looking at the body, and they were saying to my friend, they said, "Your father never looked so good. He looked so peaceful. He looked so happy. We never saw him look so happy. It's so nice that he died so happy." He didn't die that way. He was just manipulated his corpse to be like that. But then I came to India, and wherever I was going, I was seeing these dead corpses. I went to the ocean and I saw this dead corpse floating. I went to the mountain, I saw this dead corpse here, and then I decided, what is these dead corpses? I want to really examine what is this body. So that's when I went to Varanasi, and I went to the burning ghats, and from sunrise to sunset, I would sit right next to the burning bodies and just scrutinizingly examine what happens to the body. And it was amazing what I saw. I was very much enlightened. What is this body that we are so carefully preserving throughout our lives? The whole, first the funeral procession comes, and the men are very grave and trying to hold their tears, and behind them are the women. They're just sobbing hysterically, uncontrollably, wailing and crying and trying to somehow or other compose each other, but it's not possible. And then everyone's wailing and crying and lamenting over the body. Then some mantras are chanted. And then they put the fire on. And then almost everyone leaves after it's on fire. But I just sat and watched. The hairs start going. Then the skin starts shrinking. It starts going. And then different fluids start coming out. And then at certain points, the hand falls off. The other hand falls off. The eyes pop out. The skull starts to, due to the pressure of the inside, it's just cracks. Little explosion like. And I was just watching. And gradually, it just becomes ashes. Then someone comes and sweeps the ashes in Mother Ganga. And that's it. It's all in a matter of minutes. So for many days I sat in that meditation, just to try to understand, what is this death? What is this body? What is the soul? But people in this world, they are just trying to, they do not understand that there is danger at every step. They may theoretically understand it. But what is the use of theoretical understanding unless we apply that information to our life to actually benefit ourselves? Therefore, the great acharyas, they are Srila Prabhupada. He went to every continent on the earth trying to wake up people. Jeev jago, jeev grago, goda chandra bole. Kotha nidra jayo maya, pisa chira kole. Stop sleeping on the lap of maya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to wake you up, to give you real life. Krishna has descended to this world to invite you back to your original home, Vrindavan. Why are you loitering in this foreign land? You have no real family here. You have no real inheritance here. It is all in the spiritual world. Come back. Krishna's coming. He's canvassing. He's personally bringing the spiritual world to this earth to show us. This is it. This is home. But we are so neglectful. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has come. This is what Krishna has given. These are the instructions, and this is what you get when you follow. Srila Prabhupada gave us Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he was very anxious to translate in his summary study of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is real spiritual life. We are all meant to be Krishna and Sri Radharani's associates and worship them in spontaneous, ecstatic love. Why are we performing these ghastly pastimes of material existence? And that is their great mercy. They understand the unfortunate condition of those who do not take advantage of Krishna's mercy and try to make the unfortunate fortunate. And Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, one who preaches this message to others is most dear to me, and there will never be anyone more dear to me than him. By pleasing Krishna, Krishna personally extracts us from our illusions. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate shacharacharam. This material world is a very, very difficult place, but Krishna is the controller of material existence. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam evam ye prapadyante maya metatharantite. Very, very impossible to overcome the three modes of material nature. But Krishna says, if you please me, if you just try to make me happy by your surrender, I will deliver you from all the obstructions and obstacles of material life. I will take you to my own eternal abode. That is Krishna's promise. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted us to become dear to Krishna, knowing that is the real path of spiritual purification. Therefore, he wanted us all to preach. By just sitting in a holy place and trying to establish our own purification. It is good, Prabhupada started centers in Vrindavan and Mayapur so disciples could come and become spiritually rejuvenated for the purpose of going out and making the world Krishna conscious. But just to stay for one's own selfish spiritual interest, Prabhupada warned us against. Why? Because it's not pleasing to Krishna. Not so much as trying to make the unfortunate fortunate. By assisting him in his preaching mission, he is giving us entrance into the most pleasing possible activity that will attract the mercy of the Lord. Krishna comes to this world to reclaim the fallen souls, and those who assist him in this mission are most dear to him, and he will give his most benevolent and precious mercy. And what is the greatest way we can assist in this great mission of preaching? To follow the simple instructions of our Guru Parampara. Srila Prabhupada said, chant at least 16 rounds every day. Follow the four regulative principles very carefully. Study my books with great eagerness. Come to the temple. Make the temple a wonderful place. Perform beautiful congregational chanting. Do nice sadhana, nice bhajan with great attention. And perform service in a mood of a humble Vaishnava. With great humility, try to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And in that mood, create a spirit of cooperation and harmony. Prabhupada said, what gives the spiritual master the greatest pain? When devotees are fighting amongst themselves. Srila Prabhupada, that was always the anxiety that affected him most. When devotees were arguing, when devotees were fighting, where devotees were creating politics amongst themselves because of their own selfish motives, it would cause Srila Prabhupada suffering. Out of compassion he would suffer because of his concern for us. Sometimes when he would get letters or reports about different devotees fighting or arguing or competing in a material way, he would say, I cannot translate my books when the devotees are behaving like this. I am getting headaches. It is causing pain to my heart. So if we actually want to please our Guru Maharaj, we want to contribute to making our movement something wonderful. Who will want to join a movement if they see argumentation, egoistic politics, ambitious people trying to become the Prabhu instead of the Das, Das, Anudas? If we were all arguing, who could be the Das? I'm Das, Das, Anudas. You are Prabhu. No, no, that is not true. You are Prabhu. I am Das, Das, Anudas. No, no, you are wrong. If we argued like this, we would be in Vaikuntha. The whole world would be running to join this movement. But what is our argument? We may not say it in these terms, but things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. I am Prabhu, you are Das. I am the enjoyer. Why are you interfering with my enjoyment? The glory is meant for me. Get out of my way. I'm uncomfortable. You should be uncomfortable to make me comfortable. This is the spirit of material life. And it creates friction. Friction between God brothers and God brothers, God sisters and God sisters. Friction between husband and wife. between parents and children. Friction between one guru's disciples and another guru's disciples. We are all one family. We are all meant to be das, das, anudas, not the enjoyer, not the master. And the result is that we're unhappy, other devotees are unhappy, we make our associates unhappy, and when the world comes, they read our books, they hear our Harinams, they say, yes, I need relief, I'm unhappy, I want to be happy. And here I've gotten this book of Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, and it talks about real happiness, and the philosophy makes so much sense, and it talks about a culture, how you can live this way. I want this, I need this. They come to our temples, and they see we're all unhappy, fighting. They think, oh, maybe it's not possible. Our preaching is to make each other happy in Krishna consciousness. To be exemplary. And to give that message to others. Anyone can complain. If there's one thing Srila Prabhupada did not like, it was devotees who complain. Anyone can criticize. This devotee said this. This devotee is like that. Prabhupada says, do something. Don't complain. Do something. Be something. Any fool can find fault with another. But a sincere person with integrity will be an example. And that will shine much brighter than any complaints. Criticisms just drag everyone down. What we need is people who are willing to actually stand up, see the good in other, encourage the good in other, and be an example of how devotees can be inspired in Krishna consciousness. And that is preaching. And that will make us dear to Krishna. And that is what will attract Krishna's mercy in such a sublime way. To reveal the spiritual world, to reveal the glorious pastimes of Vrindavan. It is all coming through those who serve the Vaishnavas and Guru nicely, and in that spirit take shelter of the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya saw so many unfortunate conditioned souls. He asked Haridas Thakur, my heart is in great misery to see all these conditioned souls suffering due to ignorance. What to do? Haridas Thakur gave his life to spread the holy name around. Srila Prabhupada gave his life to spread the holy name around. And there are exalted personalities today who are giving their life to spread the holy name around. In so many ways, so many unique and wonderful methods by which devotees are using their creative, God-given and talents to attract people to the chanting of the holy names. And one such very special exalted soul is amongst us today. His name is Raghunath Prabhu. He's come all the way from the distant land of New York City. The place where Srila Prabhupada considered the most desperately lost city in the kingdom of Maya, the capital of material illusion. Prabhupada went right to the heart of material existence to try to reclaim the fallen souls in the land of America. So Raghunath Prabhu is based in New York, and he preaches all over America and Europe and various parts of the world. And in my humble opinion, I would say that his preaching is without question the most successful preaching in all of the United States of America. He is bringing more people to Krishna consciousness than anyone in the entire country. And his preaching is spreading to Europe also. He's a musician. And he started a band which is composed all of devotees. And it is called Shelter. And the purpose of this band is to give shelter to all conditioned souls by awakening their original Krishna consciousness. And they go to various places and play their music, which is Western type of music, which personally I do not understand so much, because I've been out of that environment for so long. But one thing I do understand is there's hundreds, thousands of people dancing to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and taking japa beads and giving up sinful activities and following the regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling and no meat eating, and taking Srila Prabhupada's books and reading them and coming to the temples. And it's amazing because practically any temple I visit in America, most of the young people that are joining the temples, both living in the temple as well as coming to the temple, are people who have been influenced and introduced to Krishna consciousness through this type of music. Literally thousands and thousands of people are becoming devotees through their efforts. And it's an austerity. The environments they are exposed to. But they're very straightforward. Raghunath Prabhu, Paramananda Prabhu, and the other members of his band, their songs are just straight. Give up sense gratification, surrender to Krishna. And all these young people, yes, yes, this is the truth. They pay money to hear the message of Krishna and to dance in kirtan. And his records and tapes and CDs, thousands, tens and thousands people are listening to all over the world. And the message is there, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So Raghunath Prabhu is very humbly sitting in the back. And could you stand up for a moment, please? Actually, please come forward. Yes, yes. Please. I would like to request Raghunath Prabhu to kindly enlighten us by explaining some of the extraordinary preaching that he's doing in America. He's an example of how there's danger at every step in this material world. Please sit here. He was performing near Salt Lake City, Utah, and his whole band was coming back from their performance, and their van fell off a mountain and fell 400 feet down, and some injuries. But Krishna has his plan, because if it wasn't for his injuries, he would not be here with us today. So everyone, very, very enthusiastically and very loudly, I request you to welcome Raghunath Prabhu. He's a disciple of His Holiness Srila Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj. If you remember, in Pune Yatra 2 years ago, His Holiness Dhanadhar Maharaj came to join us, and he gave that beautiful, beautiful class from the Nectar of Devotion. Dhanadhar Maharaj is one of my very dearest and closest godbrothers and friends, and a very wonderful exemplary devotee. And you can judge a tree by fruit. Such fruits as Raghunath Prabhu is certainly the glory of Dhanadhar Maharaj's service to Srila Prabhupada. So let us welcome Raghunath Prabhu to Sri Radha Gopinath's temple. Much
He's used to very loud sounds. You see, you don't know what kind of music. It's all big electrical amplifiers. So you should chant loud enough so he can actually relate to it, please. Thank you very much. Raghunath Prabhu, thank you so much for coming to Sri Radha Gopinath's temple. Your first visit here. And we are so much happy to meet you. Many of our devotees have read the articles in Back to Godhead and other publications about your wonderful preaching. I don't know if anyone's heard your music here.
Maybe it's better. They don't need the medicine.
But we are very grateful that you have come so far. We'd be very much appreciative if you can explain some of the wonderful programs you're doing in the service of your Guru and Srila Prabhupada and some of your realizations.
Hare Krishna. First of all, I'd like to thank His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. We just got in a car accident. He was explaining. We were driving on tour in the van. We were all asleep. And there were seven boys, and the driver fell asleep, and we went off a cliff, 175 feet, and everything was destroyed. But it was by Krishna's grace. No one got that hurt. Four people walked away, and one broke his neck, and Paramananda Prabhu broke some vertebrae, and I broke my leg. And so one fortunate thing, we were chanting when it fell over, and that's the first thing I remember. My harmonium, I keep the harmonium in the van to chant bhajans, and it flew across the van and hit me in the face and knocked unconscious. And when I woke up, I pulled myself up. The van was sideways, and I saw his bhakta, Will, who broke his neck, and the songbook was open, and he was resting on the songbook, the Vaishnava songbook. And we got up, and then I looked up, and I saw this mountainside, and I saw Paramananda just going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. So I was thinking, when I was a brahmachari, I would come to Vrindavan so much, but since I become grihastha, I don't get so much time, because the band takes up so much time. So I've been trying to go to Vrindavan, trying to make all arrangements. It would never work, so I'm thinking, well, maybe, because Paramananda has hurt his back worse than I've hurt my leg, maybe I can come to India. So I was not sure, and I called His Holiness Radhanath Swami. I was thinking it might be complicated, but on the phone, as soon as I spoke to him, he made me feel so welcome. And no problem. Come, we'll have a person at the airport. We'll take care of you. We'll get prasad. We'll make all arrangements. And I think also because of the standard, your standards are so high here. And my standards are not as high as yours. And I think that when you talk to someone realized, it puts faith in your heart. So I felt immediately I developed so much more faith in Krishna, and I felt it was auspicious I should go, and I felt so welcome, and I just want to thank everybody for making me feel so welcome, and I feel very unqualified to be with the Vaishnavas. And basically, if anyone would like to speak, ask me more questions later, you can. I don't want to take up all your morning, but with the band is very, it's very exciting. We get to travel in America and Europe and South America. And this year we go to Japan and Australia. And although we're not very, very famous, we sell about 130,000 records or CDs. And like Maharaj was saying, even though the music is very heavy music, people come forward and they get very interested in spiritual life and vegetarianism, which is very rare for a lot of these kids. And it gives me a chance to work out a lot of my attachments for pratistha, you know, and at the same time try to render service. So I'm very fortunate. And I'm here to go to the clinic and also hoping to go to Govardhan and Vrindavan for my own edification. Because unless you feel spiritually surcharged, your preaching is no good. So I feel like I'm like a car that's been running out of gas for so long. And when this accident happened, my Guru Maharaj was telling me, you know, you should try to really deeply see why Krishna did this to you. And I see it's definitely, he wants me to become more serious about my spiritual life. Patam padabhyat vipatam natejam. There is danger at every moment. And I'll tell one story, if I may. I was telling Krishna Chandra today. This is the third time Krishna saved my life. The first time is the best story. It was 3 years ago. And the band was playing in Buffalo, New York. 2,000 kids, very successful. Everybody liked the show, distributing books and t-shirts and so many nice people. And we're playing in this very, very bad neighborhood. Very bad ghetto in New York, upstate New York. And after the show, we drove our vehicle into the club. You could drive in. We were putting all the equipment in the van. And a car pulled up. And out of the car came these huge men. Big, mean, tough, scary men. And I was outside getting interviewed by the newspaper. I was sitting down like this, and these big men pulled up, and they grabbed one of the bhaktas. And I was thinking, what's going on? And the box like shook and ran inside. And then they just grabbed somebody else. Anybody. They just grabbed and just beat this man. And I was watching, and everybody was watching, but we didn't know what to do. And then they let go of that man, and they grabbed somebody else and beat that man. And then they grabbed somebody else. And at this time, everybody's thinking, we got to get out of here. There's going to be trouble. So I ran inside. Interview is over. I ran inside. And there I saw all the devotees loading the equipment in the van. And I said, we got to get out of here. There's some guys outside. They're crazy. And as I said that, the bad people, their car pulls inside the club and parks right in front of our van. So we couldn't get out. So I didn't know what to do, and I stood there shocked. And the big guy, the leader of the gang, he came out of the car, he put his hand in his back pocket and grabbed a gun. And he said, in a very commanding voice, to the rest of the people who were still in the club, he grabbed his gun and said, I have a gun, and I'm going to kill everyone tonight. And so we were all shocked. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know, what did we do? We didn't do anything wrong. So all the band came up to me. I'm the singer, so they all asked me, what are we going to do, Raghunath? What are we going to do? And I was like, well, we're going to die. I think we should start chanting. So we went into the van. I got the mridanga. So we started, Namaste Narasimhaya. We had a circle. We had 9 devotees. We're all chanting. In the meantime, this gang is going around taking different people and just beating different people up. And then they finally came up to us. And everybody ran. All the devotees ran under the car, in the back. And I'm just standing there with this drum. And I was thinking, okay, now what am I going to do? So the big man just grabbed his gun and he said, he looked at me and goes, do you want some? Meaning, do you want to get a beating? That's American slang. And so I didn't know what to say. I don't want any. I folded my hands. I have this mridanga and I'm saying, Hare Krishna, sir.
My name is Raghunath, and I'm a Hare Krishna priest. I don't know why you're angry, but then before I could say anything, everyone just started punching me. Boom, boom, boom. And I was thinking, oh, and I felt completely helpless. Now, it's very rare to feel helpless in the material world because usually we're in control, especially me. I'm very proud. I like to be in control of things. But I was thinking in my mind, I am helpless. And as I was getting punched, I was going, Govinda, Krishna, Ram, Chaitanya. And I was thinking, wow, this is amazing. I'm getting beat up. And I'm helpless, but I'm chanting. This is the perfection of life. And then I saw, while I was getting hit, I was seeing six girls coming. And I thought they were coming to protect me because they had big bats, like these baseball bats, like cricket bats, like the thinner. And I thought they were coming to protect me. And then they were the girlfriends of the gang. And they started to beat me with these bats. And I got hit like three times in the head and in the shoulder and in the arms. I'm thinking, Ram, Govinda, Chaitanya. And I was thinking, this is amazing. I am chanting. I wasn't planning on chanting, but now I'm chanting. And then all of a sudden, everything stopped. And I heard our car start. And I just walked away because I had blood all over my body. And I walked away in the street into this ghetto in New York. And I tried to help, somebody help. And people were watching in their cars, and no one would help. They were locking the door. I was thinking, oh, mankind is so cruel. No one would help, and I'm walking down the street, covered with blood, holding the mridanga. And I'm looking for help. And I'm thinking, these people are going to hurt my friends. Actually, my friends all got in the car and drove right through their car. And they broke the window of the car, and they were thinking I was in the car. They didn't see me get beat up. So they're thinking, okay, everybody's here. Oh, where's Raghunath? They didn't know I was getting beat up. So I'm thinking they're bad getting beat up, so I'm looking for help. And I just see this old garage, dirty garage. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. No one was around, and I see one old dirty man. And I said, sir, please, call the police. My friends are getting hurt. My friends need help. And the guy looked at me and he said, I'm too busy. I'm covered with blood. I'm saying, give me help. He said, I'm too busy to help you. And I said, please, sir, my friends are hurt. It's very important you call the police. And he said, okay, I'll call the police. And I was scared they were going to come and kill me, so I was, I said, I wanted to hide. He had this little booth where he stayed with a telephone. I said, let me go in your booth and hide it. So I went in there, and I was very, very fearful now because I was afraid that they hit my head and I broke my skull and I would fall asleep and die. And I was thinking, if I fall asleep and die, how can I chant? You know, I'll be dead. I'll fall asleep and then die. So I was thinking, this is horrible. So I just got on my knees and I was hiding and just praying. I was like, Krishna, this entire world is like a dream. I always say it. Even in the songs, I have words that say this world is a dream. But actually, it is a dream. And I'm thinking, and now the dream's over. I'm gonna die here tonight. And I wasn't expecting to die. None of my friends are here. And none of my loved ones are here. And none of my fans are here. And matter of fact, no one even knows where I am, and I'm in such a dirty place, and now I have to die and not even say goodbye to anybody. And I was like, well, that's what a dream is. Sometimes you get waken up in a dream in a bad dream. Sometimes you get waken up in a dream in a good dream. And I was like, oh, well. And I was like, Krishna, please, don't let me fall asleep and die. Please, if you're going to take me, Krishna, take me now. And I made a picture of Krishna in my head, and I started chanting Brahma Samhita. But unfortunately, I lived. But I feel very fortunate also. I was thinking also how I'm not advanced, but Krishna is very kind. Because even though I'm very lusty and angry, Krishna enters the mind even though I'm not pure. And at the time of death, the experience gave me so much more faith in Mahaprabhu and in Krishna, because Krishna takes care of the devotees when they're in trouble. And I feel, once again, I feel fortunate to have the association with the Vaishnavas. And just to speak to Maharaj on the phone, my heart filled up with so much faith. And then to be greeted at the airport yesterday, I felt by Radha Krishna and Krishna Chandra. I felt so warm and welcomed by the Vaishnava family. And I feel so, I honestly feel very unqualified. I'm like I said, I'm not just saying this. I don't feel as advanced as many devotees here. But devotees, because they're kind, they make me feel welcome. And I want to thank everyone for being so warm and for allowing me to be part of your family. Hare Krishna.
Would you like to hear more? If you would like to hear more, please say Hari Bol.
I'll tell my second dying experience. This one was just as good. This was in last year in Brazil. It was very interesting, and for the last 5 years, everybody, all these astrologers and palm readers, they've all been looking at my palm and saying, you're going to get in a car accident, be very careful. And last year in Brazil, we met this one expert palmist that says, next year, car accident. And we were saying, what can we do to avoid this? And they're saying, nothing. I said, but no one will die. So at me and Parmananda, every tour we're thinking, is this the year? Is this the year? Is this the tour? So last year we were in Brazil, and our first day in Brazil, actually we became very popular in Brazil, and many fans in Brazil, so we did a very nice tour. And our first day, we did all the press for the newspapers and the MTV and the magazines in the temple, in each temple, and we met all the devotees. And the devotees... Everyone in Brazil loves the devotees because it's a very pious country, Brazil. And it's very similar to India, very tropical fruit and very warm people, always embracing. So I had our first day was in Rio de Janeiro, which is a very beautiful beach town, and huge waves, 50 waves about as high as the ceiling coming in. So I woke up very early that morning. I wanted to chant on the beach, so I sat there. Lotus position, Hare Krishna, Krishna, right? Trying to chant. And chant. Then I have to chant my 16 rounds, and I chanted a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I figured this would give me nice intelligence for all these interviews. And then it's the ocean. So I live in New York. I don't get to swim in the ocean so much, so I was thinking, now I'll bathe in the ocean. So one of my friends who worked at the record company, I said, come please, let's take bath. And he's saying, no, in Rio, the waves are very dangerous. You should not swim. I was like, well, we won't go very deep. We'll just stay in the low water and we'll splash around. He said, no, I don't want to. I've just eaten and it's not very good. I said, oh, come on, please. Just a little bit. We'll just swim. We won't go very deep. And he goes, okay, I'll swim. So I'm swimming and having such a good time splashing around. And then after a while, I don't see my friend. And all of a sudden I hear, help me, help me, help me. I was looking around. And I look on them and I see in the water sort of getting deep. I see a face in the water like this. And it's my friend. And I thought he was playing a joke. And he said, help me. So I swam over. I'm like, Paulo, are you okay? And he starts screaming louder. So... whenever somebody drowns, very careful because they go crazy because their body's reacting. So immediately when I went to help them, he grabbed me and he pulled me underwater and he started screaming, help, help! And I was underwater and I'm thinking, oh, I need help. And I'm choking underwater like this. And I finally got up and I'm like, Paulo, are you okay? Are you okay? He's going, help me, help me! And he grabs me again, and he pulls me underwater. And then these nails were in me, and I'm trying to breathe, and finally I break up. And I realize now I'm over my head in the water. And two people come running, and they grab him. And they bring him into shore, but now I realize I have no air, and I'm in the ocean. And I tell you, there is a very fine line being proud and just being honest. And honesty, you let all the ego go, and you just start saying, help me! Help me! And that's what I started saying. You know, it's humbling to cry for help. You know what I mean? Everyone's watching, and you're saying, help me! And sure enough, they looked at me with blank stares on their face, and they're standing on the land going, swim! Swim! But I had no energy to swim. So I just go, and then what happened? A wave came and put me down so far below the water. I was thinking, this is amazing. I was underwater and I saw the sky, way up in the sky. I was like, I have to get to the top. And I finally made it with no air left. And I looked, somehow the wave dragged me so far into the ocean, hundreds of yards past the waves. I don't know how it happened, but I was in the middle of the ocean now, and I had no air. And I started laughing. It's almost like, this is unbelievable, you know? This is like, I can't believe this. And I had no energy, so I got to scream for help. I got to call for help. I got to get my breath. Help me! But these waves were so loud, no one could hear me, and it was early in the morning, no one could see me. I was thinking, okay, Raghunath, no human is going to help you. You got to scream for Krishna. So I was going, Krishna, help me, Krishna, help me! And then it hit me. Krishna's not going to help you either, you're going to die. It all hit me, and it was like, yep, people die every day. You weren't expecting to die, were you? You had a whole Brazilian tour planned. You had all your friends are waiting for you in the hotel, but here you are in the middle of the ocean. You have no more energy. There's no possible way anybody can help you. And I was like, and I was thinking, oh boy, what a way to go. No one's around. I can't say goodbye to anybody. But what can I do? It was no way. I just said, well, Krishna, if you can't help me, please let me take a better birth. Please, Krishna, don't let me take birth as a demon again. Please let me take birth with devotees. So I was paddling and I just go, I give up, Krishna. And I just started going, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda. She had waited. And then a miracle happened. Some young boy, 13 years old, 12 years old, didn't speak any English. He came out on a surfboard. He put me on the surfboard, pulled me all the way in, past the waves. Somehow we got past the waves, pulled me right in. And that was my third near-death experience. And I'm just so thankful that they happened I was thinking, actually, I'm glad I finished my rounds today. I was going to die. So, once again, I feel very grateful to be amongst the Vaishnavas. I feel very grateful to the Parampara. I feel very grateful for Srila Prabhupada, who transformed, you know, and is transforming ordinary Americans. Americans are like the lowest species, practically, and making them into exalted personalities. And I want to thank you all for letting me share these stories. Hare Krishna.
Any questions for Raghunath Prabhu?
You think that such groups which you have in America, shelter, something of that sort in Bombay or in India would be useful, or it is not required in India or Bombay?
I'm not... The British invaded India, and the Mughals invaded India. So many people have invaded India. And the British, they did a good job at destroying the culture, but I think the best thing to destroy the culture will be satellite television. This will destroy the culture. And I know already the music scene, Western music, is getting popular here. So there may be room. There may definitely be room for this type of preaching. Because I'm also scared that maybe even all these the holy villages will be soon wiped out. And I also see, you go to Vrindavan, you see people sitting around watching TV. And it's very sad. So maybe it will be useful. But I'm not so sure. I've never been to Bombay. I don't know the status of the people and what's going through their mind. Could be.
If you spend some time here, then you will understand.
Excuse me?
If you spend some time here, then you will understand.
Right. I know.
As a matter of service.
I know even in the airport they have this, it's called VTV. Like music television for India, and it's all Western music on TV. Usually when I go into Indira Gandhi Airport, I get the feeling, you smell, I'm in India, I'm getting ready to go to the Dham. But nowadays, when you go, they have immediately Western music and music television on TV, so I can't even get in the mood anymore. So things are changing very quickly. There's still hope. Just like in America, like I said, the standards aren't so high, and they might not have the culture or the samskaras, but they're nice people, really nice people, and they become interested in Krishna consciousness. So even if that happens in India, there's still so much hope for preaching, and by Prabhupada's mercy, and all the disciples of Prabhupada, they're preserving the tradition. Especially the essence of the tradition. The most important part of the tradition. Radhastami. Hare
Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Vanshakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananti koti vaishnava vrindaki. Gaur Shakti Prabhu, could you give class tomorrow morning? Huh? You're leaving today. Would you like to say some words before you leave us all? Please come. Raghunath Prabhu, stay here.
Just like to take the opportunity to thank you all for your kindness, your patience. Thank you so much for tolerating me and my offenses. I always look forward to coming and visiting here because the devotees here are so very kind and so nice. When I'm in Mayapur and I give class, I always speak so highly of the devotees there. And it's enlivening for the other devotees in our society to hear about how successfully Krishna consciousness is being not preached, but actually practiced. And I'm very thankful to all of you for all of the love and kindness that you show to me. And I'm looking forward to the chance of serving you when you come to Mayapur and Netra next month. Hopefully I'll be able to come back here on a monthly basis. I'm trying to make such arrangements, but it's been a long time since I was last here. Too long, actually. But I'm hoping to be back around the beginning of the month and stay for 2-3 days. But in any case, I'd like to welcome you all to Mayapur when you come on Yatra next month, and I hope I get the opportunity to serve in each and every one of you. Hare Krishna.
Shakti Prabhu ki, Raghunath Prabhu ki, Holiness Danadhar Maharaj ki, Go Bhakta Vrinda ki.